Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Midwest waterways are getting lots of attention this summer. Scientists from the U.S. Geological Survey and the Environmental Protection Agency have immersed themselves in the ecology of 100 streams from Ohio to Nebraska. It's a first-of-its-kind effort to understand how ag runoff is not just changing the water, but affecting the critters that live there. Harvest Public Media's Abby Fentress-Swanson joined a crew on a rainy day while they gathered water samples and searched for fish eggs on three streams in central Missouri.
It's high noon, yet just north of Mexico, Missouri, the skies are dark above Skull Lick Creek. This storm, with its driving rain and bright bolts of lightning, would drive most people inside, but not environmental toxicologist Don Tillett. In his blue anorak, convertible pants, and hiking boots, he's ready for the elements. The creek's muddy waters have risen above its banks, though, so Tillett says there will be no looking for minnow eggs today.
So we won't go in there this morning. It's too high. Hopefully the fish will be fine for another day or two.
This rain is not making your work any easier.
No, not at all. It's keeping the water level up, so it's hard to maintain the chambers and the cages, but it's also keeping the water temperature down.
Tillett's part of a team of five scientists from the U.S. Geological Survey who are collecting water samples and checking cages for fish eggs on a number of Missouri streams this summer. They're testing for hundreds of pesticides and nutrients used in farming. Similar teams of chemists, hydrologists, and biologists are wading into other streams all across the Midwest, 100 streams in total. It's the first time scientists have tested for so many chemicals in a whole region's waters, or considered the impact of ag runoff on fish, frogs, bugs, and algae at this scale.
These aren't the kinds of studies that are done routinely because they are pretty difficult to do.
Diana Papoulias is one of the biologists charged with checking cages of minnows for eggs.
But we know that some of these chemicals that we're finding and the runoff from the ag fields can affect reproduction and egg production. Whether they're at the concentrations that can do that or not, we don't know yet. That's what the chemists are going to be helping us with.
On this day, the team has better luck at Goodwater Creek. Plenty of fish live in the stream's murky, slow-moving water, along with snakes, crayfish, mussels, and snapping turtles. In his bright orange life jacket and waders, chemist Dave Alvarez collects water by dipping a bottle attached to a long rod deep into the stream.
So with this bottle here, we're collecting a water sample, trying to catch any runoff that's coming down through for the pesticides. I take this bottle, I dip it in the stream, I do it at equal distances across the creek. That way I kind of get a mixture, a good representative sample of what's flowing through here.
Probably impossible to say, but what do you think might be in there?
Well, considering the farmland around here and the history of this site, we'd expect potentially atrazine and some of the other pesticides if they have been applying.
Chances are they have. Atrazine is widely used to kill weeds in fields of corn, sorghum, and sugarcane. But when major storms hit, the chemical doesn't often stay on the fields. Atrazine was found in about 90% of the over 1,000 samples the U.S. Geological Survey collected from streams in agricultural areas nationwide. Legislation being considered in the U.S. House would ban the chemical, which environmental advocates argue has been linked to reproductive problems in fish, mammals, and even humans. With this comprehensive study of Midwestern streams, the scientists also want to find out the levels of mercury and livestock hormones in the water. The big unknown, though, is the weed killer glyphosate, known by the trade name Roundup, according to hydrologist Peter Van Meter.
Glyphosate's come in as the largest herbicide used now, where 20 years ago its use was pretty small.
Although the scientists didn't have good luck at all their sites today due to the wet weather, they'll be visiting each stream at least once a week until the end of July. Results will trickle in after the fieldwork's complete in August. Abby Fentress-Swanson, Harvest Public Media.
K
Community-supported agriculture, or CSAs, allow consumers to buy shares of eggs, meat, fruit, and veggies from a farm at the beginning of the season. Most operations are small, serving dozens of customers. Others serve hundreds. But can a CSA ever become too big? Reporting for Harvest Public Media, Grace Hood shares the story of the rise and fall of one of the country's largest CSA programs, an organic farm in northern Colorado.
It'll take years for Andy Grant, former owner of Grant Family Farms, to sift through all the paperwork he's accumulated over the decades. Grant inherited the farm from his dad, who started it in the 50s. The Grant Family Farm CSA was launched in 2007 with 127 members. By last year, it peaked with more than 5,000. Still, about 80% of the operation was growing vegetables for sale in grocery stores and other commercial outlets. The business had its ups and downs, Grant says, and at the end of 2011, the farm needed an infusion of cash.
So we're a little short of capital to... We had the CSA crops already in the ground. There was just no question the CSA was going to work. But would we have enough money to grow the wholesale crops?
Grant accepted a $1.5 million loan from a consortium of investors called Localization Partners. But by December 2012, the farm declared Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which effectively ended operations.
You know, the sad part is we have lost our family's farm.
There are two different views on why Grant Family Farms declared bankruptcy. Andy Grant says when he had to leave his farm finances to Localization Partners, that's when it started accelerating unnecessarily down a road toward bankruptcy. But Localization Partners sees it differently.
Take a look at their debt.
Tom Abood is one of the Localization investors who had a stake in Grant Family Farms. He says with almost $10 million in liabilities, there didn't seem to be many options. As the Chapter 7 proceedings continue, Localization will recoup some of its losses. But Grant Family Farms CSA is done. Ultimately, Abood wonders whether the CSA growth was sustainable and if the operation grew too complex.
With some of the other CSAs, that's primarily what they do. So I think... sometimes big is not necessarily better.
John Hendrickson is a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and studies small vegetable farms.
If you're really going to take seriously the community component of it, and if one of your goals is to have strong ties with your members and have your members have strong ties with you, you know, maybe there is a point where the CSA can't really get any bigger.
But that argument doesn't hold water for Andy Grant, who says his CSA was profitable until the end.
So, you know, as the litmus test that you can only grow for 100 people, well, that's not going to feed people. There are 4 million people that live in the Front Range of Colorado.
Already, he's starting up a new CSA called Six Dog Farms on a small ranchito untouched by the bankruptcy proceedings. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Grace Hood.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Thanks for listening.